Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, if you'd like to stand for the reading of this scripture here. You're getting your exercise this morning, aren't you? Simply says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. You may be seated. There is a phrase that I want to take from a scripture. It's found back in 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and verse 1. And that scripture says, and Satan stood up against Israel. Now the reason he did so was that he provoked David to number Israel, and that turned out to be a sin against God. But that phrase in itself, Satan stood up against Israel, lets me know that even after Eden, after the serpent beguiled Eve, after deception entered into the world and sin entered in, the devil was still at work. When I look at the book of Job, I understand that the devil's still at work. When we jump over into the New Testament and we read about the man that was full of demons and how that they, after Jesus had freed him from those demons, they'd entered into the swine, it still lets me know that the devil was still at work in the New Testament. When I read about the exploits of Paul over in the book of Acts and hear of what he had to go through, it still lets me know the devil was still at work buffeting the men and women of God. And yet today we still have a devil that is still at work and very much active in combating against the true Christian. Amen. When we've come into the wars that we've entered into, and particularly World War II, that jumps out in my memory more so than others as I've studied it more. But I think of Hitler, and I think of Japan and the ruthless rulers that tried to subdue and take our freedom. It lets me know that the devil is still at work today. When I think of men in Iraq there, the ruthless rulers that rose up and tried to subdue other nations, when I think of men like that, still lets me know the devil's still at work today. Amen. And the Bible here in our text that we read says that the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. The very reason that we have freedom in the United States of America today is because of the victories that have been won over enemies who have pursued and purposed to take that freedom from us. This nation was built on four basic principles of freedom. That was the freedom of speech. It was the freedom of religion, the freedom from want, and the freedom from fear. Amen. And the reason that freedom was brought was because of a fierce determination to have that freedom. And that determination in itself was not enough, but it had to be coupled with fierce fighting in order to ensue the freedom that we have and that we enjoy today. Our text, the violent take it by force, referring to the time when John the Baptist was preaching and when multitudes would hasten to hear what John had to say, some pressing in close. Then when Jesus came on the scene, he would go to towns and villages and many would follow him. And he used this analogy, this parallel here, to paint a picture of how that the kingdom of heaven was. What was taking place was that folks were pushing in, trying to get close to hear the words of this great man of God. They were trying to get close enough in order that they might receive the touch of the Master's hand. You remember the woman with the issue of blood, how that she had to push her way through the throng. You remember the other story of Zacchaeus, who could not see Jesus for the multitude, and he climbed into that tree in order that he might see. And so there was action that was taking place in order
to get close to where Christ was. He was using the analogy that the kingdom of heaven is just the same. He, in another place in Mark, he said, you must strive to enter in at that straight gate. It is a narrow way, and striving to enter in is an action. He was referring to the multitudes that would surround him and saying, as you strive and purpose and in some sense become violent to get close to me, you must also be violent in order to make it to heaven. Now, I'm not here this morning to advocate that we become a violent people as far as violence in the world is concerned. I'm not advocating that we become rebellious to this nation or have an uprising and become violent in that way. But I am saying this, that if we're going to make it to heaven, we're going to have to strive. Amen? We're going to have to take some things by force. The situation back in World War II on what they called VE Day. VE Day came. Allied forces in Western Europe consisted of 4.5 million men, including 9 armies, 5 of them which were American. One of them, the 15th, saw action only at the last. There was also 23 corps, 91 divisions, 61 of them were American. There were 6 tactical air commands, 4 of them were American. And there were 2 strategic air forces, one of them British, one of them American. The Allies had 28,000 combat aircraft, of which just a little over half of those were American. And they had brought into Western Europe more than 970,000 vehicles and over 18 million tons of supplies for vehicles and man. At the same time, they were achieving final victory in Italy with 18 divisions, and 7 of those were American. The German forces the armed forces and the nation of Germany were prostrate, beaten to a degree never seen before in modern times. Hardly any organized units of German army remained except in Norway, Czechoslovakia, and the Balkans. And these would soon capitulate. What remained of the air arm was too demoralized even for a final suicidal effort. And the residue of the German Navy lay helpless, captured in northern ports. Through 5 years of war, the German armed forces had lost over 3 million men that had been killed. 263,000 of them in the West alone since D-Day. The United States lost 135,576 dead in Western Europe, while Britain, Canada, France, and other allied incurred after D-Day approximately 60,000 military deaths. Unlike World War I, when the United States had come late on the scene and provided only those forces to swing the balance of power to the Allied forces, the American contribution to the reconquest of the Western Europe had been predominant, not just in manpower, but in as a true arsenal of democracy. Amen. American factories produced for the British almost 3 times more lease materials than for the Russians, including 185,000 vehicles, 12,000 tanks, and enough planes to equip 4 tactical air forces. And for the French, all weapons and equipment for 8 divisions and 1 tactical air force, plus partial equipment for 3 more divisions after that. Although strategic air power had failed to prove the decisive instrument many had expected, it was a major factor in the Allied victory, as was the role of Allied navies. For without control of the sea lanes, there could have been no build-up for Britain and no amphibious assault. It was, and I want you to catch this right here, it was nonetheless true that the application of the power of the ground armies finally broke the German ability and will to resist. When it was all said and done, it was not just one unit, It was not just one factor, but it was everyone working together combined that brought a total victory and saw Germany defeated and brought to their knees and their army dismantled. Could I tell you it did not happen because of simple communication? It did not happen because of a political nature, but it happened because men and women of the United States of America, of Britain, France, Canada, and other allies joined together in a mass production of military effort in order to see a ruthless ruler brought to their knees. Oh, could I tell you this morning that there is a devil and legions of hell that are fighting for the soul of mankind and have been since the beginning of Eden, have not rested, have not taken vacation, have not pulled up their forces and retreated. Although from time to time, as the church has advanced, the devil and his cohorts have had to make a hasty defeat. For when revival has come and the Spirit of the Lord has moved, amen, there's been times when the devil's had to pull out. I'm speaking of the great revivals of the past. Amen. When men like George Whitefield and men of God would come into towns and bars would be closed and taverns shut down for men getting saved in revival services. Oh, yes. I'm telling you, we're living in a day when the devil has been relentless in his attacks. Amen. He has attacked not only the church, but he has attacked families. He has attacked individuals. And he has been relentless in his endeavors to see you destroyed. We still fight a very real enemy. We're not fighting an Adolf Hitler. We're not fighting a Japanese conqueror. We're not fighting an emperor from another country. Amen. Even though we have skirmishes here and there, and even though today we are in a very vivid war over in Iraq, understand this, that when the war is finally over and our men are brought home, and when peace is ensued after, there will still be a spiritual war that's raging. There'll still be a war that we'll have to fight. And every one of you this morning must take it by force. You cannot just sit down at a bargaining table with the devil and say, if you will allow me to have this, you can have this. I'm telling you this morning, you must take up the tactical forces of heaven's army, and the gates of hell, the Bible says, shall not prevail against the church. The good news is, you don't have to fight alone. Hallelujah. Amen. In World War II and World War I, but specifically World War II, they had such a thing called a buddy system. And if you will, there was a man that was responsible for your backside, if you will. And that man was able to go with you and was even to a point where he would give his life for you. And that buddy system was important as they fought together for the advancement of the cause of freedom. And when one fell, the buddy, if he was really a true buddy, wouldn't leave him here, but would pick him up, carry over him over his shoulder back to a medic. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, we as a church, we must have each other fighting in this war, for our freedom is at stake. But the great thing is, even if our buddies fail, we still have one who's closer than a brother. Amen. One who'll go with us to the ends of the earth. One who be with us in the midnight hour. One who'll be there that we can call upon and know just at the very mention of his name that demons will have to flee. And when the devil attacks you, Mike, amen, you can call on the name of the Lord, for God has given us power to overcome the enemy of our soul. When the devil assaults us with fear and when our minds are plagued with it and we don't know how we're going to make it through, we can get on our knees in prayer and our buddy will be there with his arm around us saying, fear not, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Oh yes, when the enemy comes in with the attacks of sickness, we still will have a buddy who is the great physician. He doesn't have to take us very far before that we can receive help from the Lord. And we can call upon Him. And the Bible says, by His stripes we are healed. You see, He already laid down a great cost in order that we might have freedom. And I'm admonishing you here this morning that are sitting in this congregation. You, when you got saved, you became a soldier of the cross. This is not a picnic ground. This is not a sandbox experience. We're in the foxholes, brother. Amen. We're in this war together. Amen. And like the songwriter said, don't give up on the child of God, for he'll be there when the battle's over. Oh, I'm reminded of Francis Scott Key in Fort McHenry. And when the British were bombing the fort, amen, that flag that stood for freedom, amen, stood tall and proud and strong. And men literally gave their lives as they ran out and embraced that flag, lest it should fall over. And that flag at the bottom of that base became a human mortar of lives that had died for the cause. Oh, I'm telling you, just as we are proud of a flag of the United States of America and what it stands for, there's another flag from another country that means so very much more to me. That flag we know is the Christian flag. For as the Statue of Liberty symbolizes our image of freedom, as it symbolizes what we stand for in America, there's a cross of an on an old rugged hill. Amen. From a Savior who bled and died. Amen. That didn't just give us life and liberty here, but a life and a liberty in a world beyond. And He is with us to the end. And He's going to fight with us to the end. I'm telling you, you cannot sit back. You can't afford just to hold your breath and wish it to be over. You're going to have to get in and fight this good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. The Bible says, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. I'm here to preach to you, we must take this by force this morning and tonight and tomorrow and the next day, because the devil's fighting fierce, and tactics have been unleashed on us that we've not seen before. Oh, but there's nothing new under the sun. And if you'll just hold on to God's unchanging hand, He'll see you through. He'll see you through. It was an application of the power of each of the armed forces combined together that broke the yoke of Berlin. Hallelujah. Amen. It was the application of power of combined forces. When you get saved, the Lord instantly becomes your buddy. I am not minimizing Him. I am not demeaning who He is. But He is with you to the very end. But He's not just going to do all the fighting for you. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. And He has given to us not only mobility, but ability to be able to fight. And what good soldier would go into the combat field unarmed? None would. They'd go with arsenal in order to do battle. Hallelujah. There's some Christians trying to fight the devil with a fly swatter. And it's just not working. Some are trying to shoo him away. But the Lord has given us, amen, a combined force called the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost that abides with us and in us and through us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? You understand the freedom we have? is going to come because of a combined effort with God doing His part and the Son doing His part and the Holy Ghost doing His part and we doing our part, for the church will not advance unless she advances on her knees in prayer and in supplication, armed with the fatigues of the battalion of God, armed with the weapons of the Lord. For, amen, I believe we're in this last hour and the devil's pulled out everything he can. We see Christians barely making it. Some are just getting through the week and coming to Sunday for a fix, coming to church to get help. Amen. I submit to you, amen, you can stand strong for God every day of the week and be encouraged in the Lord. You don't have to be dismayed. You don't have to be disillusioned. Hey, God is for us and He'll fight this battle with you. Amen. So the cross stands for the symbol of freedom that we enjoy today. Two boys, raised in the same home, had the same parents, had the same upbringing, had the same opportunities, had the same disciplinary measures, had the same education. These two brothers were very much alike. And it was the father's will that these boys would carry on dad's business when he died. These boys worked hard. These boys, like I said, had the same upbringing and everything was similar. Ate the same food, did the same chores, worked there on that farm. Dad's business was flourishing. But one boy became discontent. And that one boy soon found that dad's business was not so intriguing as it once was. It wasn't as appealing as it had once been. For something else had caught his eye. And he decided that he would leave home. And one boy stayed and one boy went. And the boys parted. And it was a tearful farewell. And mom and dad were saddened by the fact that it had happened. And there's been many a family that have had children to leave. And some have never been heard of for years and years after. I know it happens and it is sad. And this boy that left, he went, the Bible says, into a far country and spent all that he had. And you know the rest of the story. When he finally came to his senses in that pig pen of sin, when he finally realized that he was at the lowest that a human could go, he said, "I will return home." Now I want to submit something to you here this morning. I don't believe he had an easy journey back home. I don't believe he boarded a Greyhound bus or boarded a Northwest air flight and headed back to the father's house. First of all, they didn't have them luxuries back then of modes of transportation. But the first thing he had to do was get out of the pig pen. Amen. Listen, if you're going to take heaven by force, you're going to have to take it by force. If you're going to take it at all, it's not going to be just a ride into the pearly gates, brother. Amen. I'm not minimizing the fact salvation's free. Amen. But after you're saved, you're going to have to fight. Amen. To make it to heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. This is warfare. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I believe the prodigal son had to pull himself up out of that pen and make himself go back home. He swallowed his pride, what little he had left, and made his way back to the father's house. I don't know how many miles he had to walk. I don't know how long he had to go. But finally he made it back home and asked the father to forgive him and hire him on as a hired hand, just a servant. Oh, we know the rest of the story. The father wouldn't hear of it and welcomed him back home as his own son. I'm telling you this morning, there's going to be benefits if we'll just endure to the end. If you'll just hold on. If you'll pray a little longer. Seek God a little more. Amen. Keep on this good old way. I'm telling you, one day the Father's going to welcome us home with an eternal reward. Amen. It'll be worth it all when we see Christ. Someone was just telling me recently, maybe it was Sister Judy, I can't remember now, but someone was telling me about a story, an illustration that I'd heard years ago too, and I hope I get it correct. I didn't verify this with her. I think it was her that had told me. Maybe I'm wrong. But she told about a man of war that had come home. They were coming home on a ship. And there was a big band there that was playing. Did you tell me that? Or wouldn't you? It was a big band playing there. And he really was feeling good about the fact that that band was playing for them. And he got ready to get off the ship. And they pushed him aside and said, "That band isn't for you. That band's for the dignitaries. That band's for this group over here." And he was crestfallen. But then the Lord reminded him that there's going to be a heavenly band that one day will welcome him home. Hallelujah. Amen. You hold on. You're going to have to take this by force. You can't just say a little, "Now I lay me down to sleep" prayer at night and trust that the devil will keep out of your mind and imagination during the night. He'll be there attacking you. Amen. You're going to have to take this by force. Amen. Stephen knows. Trish knows. Aren't you so proud of Trish? I mean, God's just helped her staying in here true to the Lord. The obstacles that young lady has to face, some of you know nothing about. And I commend her for being a soldier of the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. My hat's off to you, sis. Amen. A bouquet of roses of words to you this morning. Amen. You fought the good fight of faith. You're going to have to take it by force and keep fighting. Amen, Stephen. Amen. Keep on fighting. Praise God. Amen. This doesn't come easy. Some of you are veterans. Some of you have been in this for a good long time. And you know the devil doesn't leave you alone and just say to himself, "Well, there's no hope of me ever getting them back." Amen. We're being torn apart. We're being fought upon. Marriages are in disastrous places. I mean, the devil's attacking our families. What are you going to do? Just stand there and fold your arms? Say, "Oh, well, what's going to happen is going to happen." The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For the sake of these young folks, let me illustrate it this way. Come here, Brother Bill, Brother Stephen, Brother Mickey. And just form a wall right here. Link up together. And the determination is for us to make it on the other side. Face me this way. Come out this way. The determination is for us to be able to get over to the other side. Now, these three guys think they're pretty tough. But I want you to know, I am bigger than they are. I am taller than they are. And I believe I can whip them. Well, they ain't shouting now. But with myself, I could probably make an indentation. I probably could get a little ways, but I don't have to do this by myself. Brother Ray, you're off vacation, my man. Bill Grimmett, Brother Bill. Brother Wright, make your plight and come down in sight. Brother Lance, come flex those muscles. Try it in advance before you get here. Brother Miller, come over here. And I don't know what rhymes with Miller. And show us your filler. Now, I feel a little more assured that I'm going to get through the hordes of hell. Oh, I'm feeling like preaching right here, right now. By myself, I had some doubts. But with these in number, woo!
All we've got to do is say, all right, guys, let's march forward and let's make an intent. Come on this side, Brother Miller. Get right back here with Brother Wright. And we'll just do it. We ought to put them in front, shouldn't we? You know, it reminds me of the story in the Bible. They had the soldiers in front, the priest in the middle, and the reward in the back. Yeah. Well, here we go. Marching forward. Amen. Because we're determined that we're going to make it on the other side. If I can't make it by myself, surely with the Lord on my side, we'll make it through. Oh! Hallelujah! There's times when the devil has to flee. The problem is when we try to do it in our own power. But God has given us power. And with the combined power of the heavenly host of God, amen, combined with us, we can overcome and we can triumph and we can have freedom because God is for us and He's willing to see us through. Amen. Amen. You're going to have to take it by force. There's people in your family that are not saved. Just a simple prayer, God save them, may not be sufficient enough. There's times you're going to have to get in a travailing prayer and pray until you feel heaven opened and pray until you feel God moving on your behalf. Jacob wrestled with the Lord, with the angel, and would not let him go until he got his blessing. How determined are you today? And how fierce of a fighter will you be to take this by force? It's going to be more than just coming and being faithful to a church house. It takes a dedicated walk with God that says, I will fight this good fight. I'm going to lay hold on eternal life one of these days. Amen. Let's stand together. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. 2 Timothy 2:3, Paul told Timothy, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for the masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. There's a right way to fight and there's a wrong way to fight. And there's a lot of folks trying to fight the devils of hell in Jesus' name, but they don't have possession of the Spirit of God in their lives. Number one, they're not living right. Number two, they're like the seven sons of Sceva. The same incident that took place there is in our Christian world today. There's one way. There's only one way to defeat the devil. And that is when the saint of God links up with the power of God and God begins to fight through us. Amen. The title for my message this morning was Reclaiming What the Devil Has Stolen From Us. We're going to sing that chorus. I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. And some of you here this morning, I believe God wants you to take back something this morning that the devil has stolen from you. Some of you have just plain given it up to the devil. It's time to take it back by force. This may be more of a Sunday night message, but I think it'd be good here this morning on Sunday morning just to realize that there are some things we need to take back and have a determination. Hey, and tonight probably more fireworks will go off. And Friday night fireworks representing the freedom we have. But this morning, some of you need by the Spirit of God
to take back some things and refuse to allow the devil to come in any further. Any further at all. You need to just come to this altar and say, I'm going to fight. I refuse just to stand by. Some of you have been attacked this week and the devil's come in like a flood. But the Bible says, when he does, that the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. When Joshua the high priest, the devil was at his right hand to resist him, and the Lord said, the Lord rebuke you, O Satan. Hallelujah. Amen. What some of you need to do this morning is just get a hold of God in an earnest determination that you're going to take back what you've lost to the devil. Well, I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me and I took back what he stole from me and I took back what he stole from me. Well, I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. It's under my feet. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. Yes, he's under my feet. Well, Satan is under my feet. Let me tell you real briefly a time in my life when the enemy had come in and taken some things very precious to me. One of them was the anointing of the Holy Ghost. One of them was my desire to pray. One of them was my desire for God's Word. It was kind of a combined effort. Not only did he steal them, but I had given them up through a lack of determination as he had assaulted and he had attacked my life spiritually. I was at a very low point. And if you're a Christian any length of time, you'll understand that there are times when you get down to that point of desperation. But just like the Word of God says, Micah chapter 7 verse 8 was a scripture that I'd preached from and I had used many, many times in my life. It says, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. And my prayer was, oh God, I need a fresh anointing. My prayer was, God, I need a fresh determination. My prayer began to change toward heaven for God to give back and restore to me what the devil had taken from me. And if you're here this morning, I admonish you to find yourself in a place of prayer crying out to a God of heaven and saying to Him, Lord, there's some things I must get back or I die. That's fierce determination. And combine that with fierce fighting. I'm telling you, the devil will have to back off and give you room to receive back what he has stolen from you. Well, I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. Took back what he stole from me. Well, I took back what he stole from me. And I went to the enemy's camp. And I took back what he stole from me. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. Satan is under my feet. All right, without further ado, these altars are open. Amen. Let's come pray. Somebody here this morning really needs to pray earnestly. Oh, I just feel in my spirit you're in for an attack and you need some reinforcements this morning. Oh, God, help us around these altars. Hear our plea this morning, oh God. Attend unto our cry. We're marching into the enemy's camp this morning and we're fixing to take back by force. Well, I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. Oh, let's take it back this morning. In Jesus' name, we combat against the devils of hell, against the hordes of hell. We come against the tactics of the devil, come against the forces of Satan. Amen. There's victory this morning for the child of God. Amen. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, why don't you press in? Why don't you give yourself to God and a determination to find the Lord before it's too late. Hallelujah. The devil's bidding for your soul, but Jesus has come to give you life. The Bible says in John 10:10, for the thief cometh not, but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that ye might have life and have it more abundantly. Oh, hallelujah. He's come to give you life this morning, friend. Why don't you call upon the Lord while He may be found? Draw nigh unto God, and His Word says He will draw nigh unto you. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Oh, thank God. Take it by force. Take it by force. Oh, my God. Move by Your Spirit. Move by Your power, Lord.
Hold on a little longer. Help it.